Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Psalms 85, this is a very familiar text when it comes to revival. Matter of fact, when I get to the main points this morning, you'll probably have some of them written down in the flyleaf of your Bible if you've been here over 5 or 6 years. But that's all right, because I'm going to obey the Lord this morning. If I'd done what I wanted to do, I'd go to John chapter number 1 and preach out of John 1 this morning. There had been 400 years of silence. Heaven had been silent. There'd been no prophesying. There'd been no prophets. They just continued doing what they had been told to do, and that was making sacrifice. But John came on the scene preaching, and whenever Jesus come walking by, John didn't say, "Behold a preacher." John didn't say, "Behold a prophet." John didn't say, "Behold a healer." John said, "Behold a lamb." The reason he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," was because it was verbiage and it was words that the Jewish people was well aware of. There had been over 300 references to sacrifice in the Old Testament. John said in John 1:29, all the sacrifice of the Old Testament could do was cover sin. But there was one that had come on the scene that was a sacrifice that was going to cleanse sin. That's really what I want to preach on this morning. But I'm going to have to do what God told me to do. Amen? And I really want to give you my heart this morning. I want the Lord to help us over the next 3 services. I want the Lord to help us this morning. And can I just say this? He has helped us this morning. I don't know about you, but man, there's a very sweet breeze blowing around in the church today. And I like it, and I am very thankful for it. I don't make a practice of drinking in the church. I don't make a practice, and you say, "You got a bottle of water up there." Well, it's because of pollen and Lysol. Thanks to Miss Rachel, Lysol this morning got sprayed all in the fellowship hall, and I about died 3 times over there trying to teach. But I don't make a practice of bringing a drink in the church and things like that. But last night, I done something I don't normally do. I made me a cup of coffee. Now, I do normally do that. But I made a cup of coffee, and I come up here, and I just sat in my chair, Brother Stan. And God knew my heart. I didn't do it out of irreverence to the church. God knew my heart. And if you want to question my motives, well, you can take it up with God if you make it to heaven and stand before Him. And He knew my heart. And I just sat in my chair, and I prayed a while last night up here. And I just prayed, "God, if there's anything in me that would hinder revival, show it to me. Let me get it out of the way. God, I sure would love to hear from you tomorrow. God, I sure would love to have a breeze from another world tomorrow. God, would you help us? We need you." And boy, I sure am thankful that God heard. That breeze is beginning to blow. And here's what the Bible said. I'm going to let you remain seated in Psalms 85, verse number 1. I know we normally stand, but you can remain seated. Lord, verse number 1, "Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin." Then he gives us this musician's term, Selah, there. It simply means just to think about it, just to pause for a minute and to think about what he just said. And you know what he's saying? He's saying this: "God, you sure have been good to us." That's what he's saying, the first 2 verses. He's saying, "Lord, you sure have blessed us. God, you sure have been good to us. God, you sure have been favorable to us." And is there anybody else here this morning that would agree and say, "The Lord sure has been good to us. He sure has been favorable to us. He sure has blessed us today." He goes on to say in verse number 3, "Thou hast taken away thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger." Can I just say this morning, I sure am glad that I did not get the wrath of God, but I got the mercy of God. I deserved the wrath of God. You deserve the wrath of God. But I sure am thankful for the mercy and the long-suffering God that we serve. He goes on to say in verse number 4, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease? Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Note verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Note again what he said in verse number 4. Turn us, O God, of our salvation. Note what he said in verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us? And again the word again is here. Again, won't you do it again, God? Why don't you do it again? Whenever I think about revival this morning, I would say this. It's a word that is used in the Christian life or in churches today that we never really take time to talk about what it is. What is revival today? What is, Lord, revive us again? Can I say this? One of the words, one of the meanings of revival and what some people think about revival, I would say this, revival is not just a series of meetings. It's not a date on the calendar. It's not a guest preacher showing up at the church. Revival is when God brings life back to something that is still there but no longer living as it should. It's bringing life back to something that is still there, but it's no longer living as it should. The word revive in Psalms 85:6, it literally carries the idea to make alive again, to restore to life, to quicken. Matter of fact, if you go to dictionary.com, you'll find the word revival means this. Listen, now stay with me. Listen and stay with me. It's a new production of an old play. And I read that and I thought, a new production of an old play. Well, I got to thinking about that. And you know what we need? Now, I understand that church is not a production. But you know what we need? We need God to move again in our hearts as He did in days gone by. That's what it's saying. We need God to stir our hearts again. It also means this in the dictionary. It means a state of being revived. So I looked up the word revived, and here's what the word revived means. It means to activate, set in motion, or take up again. Here's what it means, to restore to life or consciousness. To restore to life or consciousness. Can I just say it this way? What is revival today? Here's what revival is. It's not necessarily people getting saved. A lot of times we think, well, we're going to have revival and people's going to get saved. Well, I hope people do get saved. Somebody say amen. But revival is not necessarily people being saved. Note again what your Bible said. Turn us, O God, of our salvation. What did he say here in verse number 6? Wilt thou not revive us again? So evidently there had been a time in their life where they had been revived. And here's what the psalmist is saying. Will you bring us back to the consciousness of life again? It's not that they're dead, because once we're saved, we're saved. Our soul will never be dead again. It's not I get saved multiple times. Once saved, always saved. I don't have time to preach that message. You know it today. But here is what happens along the way. We get discouraged. All right, let me say it again. If y'all will help me, we'll get out before service time tonight. We get discouraged. We get, every once in a while, we get hurt about things. We get our feelings hurt. Everybody holler, amen, all right. We get our feelings hurt sometimes. Somebody didn't shake our hand that we thought they should have shook our hand. We see a little group talking somewhere, and we walk by, and whenever we walk by, we just automatically think that they stopped talking because they was talking about you. And we go home and we allow the, I'm preaching good, we allow the devil to get up on our shoulder. And before you know it, we're not going back to church because they're talking about me at church. I'm not going back to church because the preacher didn't shake my hand. Well, did you come up to shake my hand? Can I just throw that out real quick? The preacher didn't talk. Did you talk to the preacher? And before we know it, we find ourselves sitting at the house and church still going on, but we're not. It's not that we lost our salvation, but here's what happened. We lost the joy of our salvation, and we have become to a place where we need to be brought back to the consciousness of life. We need to be brought back in fellowship with God. And the psalmist says, Lord, will you not revive us again? Revival is about God's people being stirred, awakened, and brought back to life again. Psalms 85 was written to the people of Israel, likely after a time of judgment and captivity, possibly after their return from Babylon. God had already showed mercy. Watch this. Verse 1, he brought them back. Verse 2, he forgave their iniquity. Verse 3, he turned away his wrath. But something was still missing. They were back in the land, but they were not back in life. And you may be sitting in the land this morning, but there's no life inside of you. It's not that you've lost your salvation, but because of something. And the biggest part of the time, I'm going to preach to y'all. The biggest part of the time, it's because the hurt, 99% of the time, comes because we think too highly of ourselves. Can I say that again? Because we think too highly of ourselves. We think too much of us. But something has happened. We're still saved. We know that God saved us. There's people that I talk to, you can't shake them on their salvation, but they're not in fellowship with God. They don't need to be saved again. Let me tell you what they need. They need revival, man. They need God to stir them up again. They need God to revive them again. I thought about this. They had position, but they didn't have passion. They had form, but they didn't have fire. You know what? I see people every service in, service out. They've got a position. They're sitting on the pew or they're sitting on the seat. They may even be standing in the choir, but there's no passion to them anymore. There's no fire to them anymore. You know what? You can see some people get up and teach. They may have a position, but they don't have a passion. You can see people get up and sing, and once they had a touch of God on them, and it's just cold and indifferent. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what's caused it, but here's what we need this morning. We need God to revive us again. We need God to stir us again. We need God to remind us of where we used to be and where we're at today. Oh God, will you not revive us again? The psalmist cries out, wilt thou not revive us again? So I want to preach on this thought for the next hour and a half. Wilt thou not revive me again? Me. I said this morning in the opening, and I'm going to give you four little points right here, then I'm going to close out. Some of you know them. You've got them wrote down in your Bible. I'm going to give them to you again this morning. I said this in the opening. I encouraged you, and I told the Sunday school class this morning. When we was closing out, I told them, I said, don't pray for nobody else. Pray for you. Real quiet this morning. Pray for you. You see, if I'm praying for me, I know somebody's praying for me. Are you with me right there? If I'm praying for me, I know somebody's talking to the Lord for me. You say, well, preacher, that's selfish. Call it whatever you want to call it. But here's what I found out, and I said it a while ago, and I'm going to say it again over and over and over and over and over again. I can never be a help to nobody else if I'm not in tune with God myself. And there is times that we need to get our eyes off of everybody else. Hear me right here. You cannot control nobody else. They're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to act how they're going to act. At the end of the day, that's between them and God. Oh, but hear me this morning. I refuse to allow them to suck the joy out of my life and to suck the peace of God out of my life and to take the shout out of me and the joy of serving Jesus. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. God's too good to me. Lord, show me. Lord, revive me. Here's how to know if you need to be revived this morning. Are you ready? Number one, here's who needs revival. This simple, man. Are you ready? Number one, those who used to serve, but they're now sitting still. There used to be a time you were serving God more than you are right now. You need revival. You need revival. There used to be a time that you is doing more for the service of God than we are today. And let me just say it this way. Not just serving Him, but serving Him with joy. Serving Him with joy. I understand everybody has different facial expressions. Are you with me right there? Everybody does. Some people never say anything with their mouth, but they don't have to. Are you with me? Everybody has different facial expressions. Now, I understand some people, when they sing, their facial expression may not be a great big smile and waving their hand. But when they sing, you know something's real. It's not necessarily about raising your hand. I'm all about raising your hand, praise God. Amen. Raise your hand. The Lord's good. Amen. But I understand everybody worships differently. My brother Nick, so I was just take off down the aisle. And God does miracles, because when he runs, his knee's good. When he don't, the devil gets back in him. Are you with me? The Lord does miracles. Not everybody's going to take a lap. But can I tell you something? They still serve with joy. There's something about it. Whenever they do something for the Lord, it's not, well, I don't know why I have to do this. Why can't somebody else do this? Well, I'm going to go up here and I'm going to do this. No, man, it's that we serve God with joy. And if you've lost that joy in serving Him, oh, you may still be quote-unquote serving, but in all honesty, you might as well be sitting still. Those who used to serve but now sit still, they haven't left the church, but they left the work. And I say that it's not that they've left the church, but that they've left the work. I understand that our church is a very, very busy church. And I'm glad. I just say that, I'm glad that it is. And you know what? On Friday night, I wanted fish. That's what I wanted. But some guy decided to plan a work night at a different location. I don't know what Dylan was thinking when he gave me that date. It's probably I gave it to him because I didn't look on the church calendar and I said, hey, let's go work that night. But you know what was happening here? There was something happening here. You know what was happening at the camp meeting building? There was work going on at the camp meeting building. You know what happened yesterday? There was some on visitation. Some was here Friday night working that wasn't here Saturday morning working. You know what? That's all right, because there's multiple things going on at the church. But here is the key to it, that you're working, that you're serving, that you're doing something. And if there's ever been a time when we was doing more for God than we're doing right now, you know what? We need church. We need revival. We need revival. Well, those who used to serve, but they now see it. What about this one? Those who used to sing, but they're now songless. They once had a song in their heart, but now they don't. They once had a song in their heart, but now they don't. And I just want to say this, and it goes with every point here. Listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. God will never tell you to serve Him less. Did you hear what I just said? God will never tell you to serve Him less. Where's your song at today? Where's your song at? I'm not necessarily talking about going to the choir. Now, if you can sing, you ought to be in the choir. There's every time you sung in the choir, you're not singing in the choir now. I don't know that you can convince me that God told you to quit singing in the choir. Let me just throw that out there, and Brother Matt and Miss Mandy will say amen, and we'll keep going. I don't know that you can convince me that God ever told you to quit singing in the choir. Well, preacher, you know, let me say this. It's not all about singing in the choir. That song in your heart. That song in your heart. I love riding up the road and turning the radio off and singing. Just lifting my voice, whether anybody likes it or not, whether they hear it or not. You know what I'm doing? I'm making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, let me tell you what God done when God saved me. God gave me a song in my heart, man. There was a melody within my heart. And I want to ask you something. Where's your song at? Where's your song at? Where's your song at? What about this, number three? I told you I was going to give you four little points. We'll go home. Number three. And let me back up and say, I said it a while ago, but let me back up and say, when you sing, sing from your heart. If you're going to sing a special song, sing from your heart. If you're going to sing in the choir, sing from your heart. Don't just have a melody in your lips. Have a melody in your heart. Give Him everything. He give you everything. Give it everything. Number three, those who used to speak, but they're now silent. Now, there's some that needs to be silent sometimes. But I'm talking about speaking of the Lord and being led by the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a time that you would have told somebody about God, but you don't now? Was there ever a time that you would have handed out a gospel tract, but you don't now? Lord, will you not revive us again? I'm just asking questions. And you say, well, I don't like the questions. Well, I'm not the one that's making the decisions to make you not like the questions. I'm just asking you questions. Lord said, ask questions. We used to speak for Him. We used to talk about Him. You know what? I hear this so many times. And it just drives me batty. And I'm going to be careful what I speak right here. Well, I just can't talk to people about the Lord. Well, you can talk to them about every other thing. That's a cop-out, man. That's a cop-out. Well, I just don't know enough about Him to talk to. Well, that's your own fault. Get in the Bible and read it and study it and learn more about it. I'm preaching good. Say, what if they give me something that stumps me? Go back to the Bible. Don't give them an answer. Say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and study the Bible, and if I can't find it, I'm going to call my preacher. I'm going to call my preacher's wife, and we're going to get you an answer. And if I don't know it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call my daddy. If he don't know it, I'm calling Brother Williams. And if he don't know it, we're in trouble. All right? Men used to speak, but they're now silent. I'm going to say this to you. Our message has not changed. Let me tell you what's changed. Our willingness. Our willingness has changed. They used to speak for God, but they're now silent. What about this? I'm right now done, but what about this? Those who used to be Spirit-filled, but now they're Spirit-less. Used to see God move in their life. Used to see them stand up and give a testimony, and whenever they did, boy, it had a touch of God on it. I'm not putting nobody on no pedestal, but Miss Deanna had a touch of God on her testifying this morning. I'm telling you, she had breath of God on her. And I say, hallelujah. You say, well, I sure would like to have that. Are you willing to go through what she went through to get that? That's where it stops a lot of times. Are we willing to go through what she went through to get that? You know, sometimes you hear people sing a song and you just don't understand why they can sing that song that way and nobody else can. And we wonder in the backside, man, I've tried to sing that song. It just don't come out of me like it does them. Maybe it's because they've walked through the fire and they've had sleepless nights and God's given them victory over it. And that's the reason they can sing it the way that they do with the touch of God on. That spirit-filled. You know what we're lacking today? Spirit-filled Christians. You know what a spirit-filled Christian will do? They'll act like Christ. You know what Christ was? Christ was forgiven. Got one amen. Christ was long-suffering. Don't tell me about how much you love Jesus when there's bitterness, all anger. Don't tell me about how much you serve it and all. You need revival. Because I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God is not working freely in your life. I'm preaching good this morning. The Spirit of God's not working freely. And I'm telling you, we need the Spirit of God today. Without the move of God, without the Spirit of God, without the touch of the Holy Ghost, we might as well shut everything down and sell the property and go live our lives any way we want to. We've got to have the touch of God. And when we have it, it will spill over into others. They're still saved. Yeah, they're still saved. Boy, there's no Spirit of God on their life. Who needs revival? Well, those who used to walk in the Spirit, now they don't. Those who used to speak, now they're silent. Those who used to sing, now they're songless. Those who used to serve, and now they see it. Take your Bible, Miss Tanya. Come to the piano, please. Take your Bible and go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I'll read you this in closing. The psalmist never said, "Replace me, Lord." He said, "Revive me." You don't need to be replaced today. You just need to be revived. Can I say that again? You don't need to be replaced today. You need to be revived. This verse has been so in my heart this week. Psalms 139, verse number 23. The Bible says this. Search my neighbor, O God. Search my parents, O God. Search my children, O God. Search my buddy. No, the psalmist said, search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. Look at verse number 24. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. He didn't ask him just to search him. But he asked him to show him. Now, I asked you at the beginning of the service this morning, why don't you pray, God, help me today. I'll give you four little topical thoughts. I'm going to ask you a question today. Have you asked God to search you? I didn't ask you about anybody else. I'm asking you about you. And if you did, what did He show you? What did He show you about you? Nobody, you. What did He show you? Now I'm going to ask you another question. What are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Or are you just going to continue to live the life that we've been living? Or are we going to continue just to... There's no doubt that people's here today, I'm not saying everybody, but there's some people here today just going through the motions. It's what we do. We go to church. We go to the choir. Sing in the choir. Have a special song. Preacher preaches. Have an altar call. We're going to come back tonight. We're going to go to prayer run. We're going to go to church. Choir's going to sing. We're going to have a special song. Time out. Where's the Spirit at in all that? Where's the moving of God at in all that? Where's God working in all of that? Search me. Search me. Search me. I've prayed so much this week. God, search me. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just giving you my heart this morning. God, search me. God, if there's anything in me, if you'll show it to me, I made him a promise. I'll get it right. If there's somebody I need to go to, I'll go to them. Church is so much bigger than what we see. It's so, you say, well, I know I can't see everybody that's online. That's not what I'm talking about. Church is so much bigger than us. It's bigger than what we see. So, preach, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. There does come a time when the saved person can hinder the work of God in a church. The old timers would say it this way, Brother Zeb. They hold the key to revival. How many times have you ever heard that? If you've been in church, if you're over 40 years old and you've been in church any length of time, you've probably heard a preacher say, I pray whoever's holding the key to the revival, they'd come to the altar, hadn't get it right. You know what they were saying? They were saying that somebody's hindering the work of God. You see, when we come here this morning, it wasn't just about us. But there's no doubt there's probably somebody here this morning that's not saved. And when the Christian comes not right, it hinders the move of the Holy Spirit. And if it hinders the move of the Holy Spirit and that sinner does not get saved because you hindered the move of God in the service, your blood, their blood will be on your hands. Not on the preacher, but on you. Why? Because you hindered the work of God. I'm preaching good this morning. I'm just being honest with us. So as we've said, Lord, search me. Lord, look at me. Is it? And these just four simple little areas. God, is there something in me that when the choir begins to sing tonight would hinder them? Is there something in me that when Brother Ryan stands up to preach tonight that would hinder the move of the Holy Ghost? God, if it is, show it to me. And God, by your help, I'll get it right because I want revival. Lord, wilt thou not revive me again?